This message was recorded at Leeds Vineyard during a Sunday morning service. Please feel free to copy or forward it if helpful. We pray that it may be God's word in season for you today.
So near the beginning of when we started the Vineyard here, not here actually, somewhere else, this young couple turned up to help us out. God sent them along. They were called Ben and Kate. And they've been serving alongside us for a long time. And both Ben and Kate were on staff with us for several years and up until last year. And Alice and I have absolutely loved having them with us, and we've learned so much from them, and they've given so much to this church. And now we're delighted to be able to commission them and send them off to Edinburgh. But today I've just asked Ben to come and share what the Lord's put on his heart for us today. So let's pray for you. Lord, I ask you to come and fill Ben with your Holy Spirit. And I thank you for the word you've given him to share with us today. And I pray that this will come and transform and transfigure our lives. Would you bless him with your peace as he speaks? Amen.
Amen. Morning. Hello. Hello. So it's actually really nice to be back for me. I've been a punter, as it were, for a while, so since last July. I'm just sort of coming in just like one of you guys, really. So most of the time, in fact, all of the time of being in Headingley, I've sort of been standing up here or doing something up here. So it's nice to be back in this sort of space. and it's really good to be here. But also, it's really, as David was reflecting at the beginning, the story of some of the vineyards, both in this country and in Leeds. It's a real great privilege for us to just stand on the work and the risk that people like David and Alison took in coming up to Leeds. And that's sort of really been a massive part of our journey when we sort of rocked up 17, 18 years ago. But it's a real privilege to be able to stand on that teaching, that learning, and all the things that they've learned and then passed on to us. And then we really want to do that again, in Edinburgh, and see people's lives change and see the kingdom come in that city. So it's a real privilege to be able to stand here today, which is across the Vineyard in the UK Church Planting Sunday, and just to be part of that, really. And we're just at the start of what Edinburgh Vineyard's going to be. So it's really exciting, and it's really exciting to be able to come here and just be able to talk about it, but also just know that you guys are the guys that are sending us, and this is the place that we've been learning from and being part of for so much time. So, but it must be said, something that's not in the church planting training or the manual, to be that effect, is about curtains. And stay with me. But you might have experienced this. Whenever you've moved house, you may well have to redo curtains. Now, the thing about Edinburgh and every house in Edinburgh, they've just got massive windows. Absolutely. See? Yeah, massive windows. It's a thing. So the thing is, these massive windows in our new place in Edinburgh, it's a bit of a struggle for me on the curtain front. But fortunately, Kate has far greater sort of motivation in this department, it must be said. But it's definitely not in the manual for church planting, but it should be. It should be, really. And curtains, aren't they a bit of a funny thing? Maybe. I think they're a funny thing, because a lot of the time you close them and then you close your eyes. What's the point? See? But also, the main thing is that if you wake up, the instant response you want to do with a curtain, especially when the sun's shining through and you know the sun is shining, the instant thing you want to do is get them out of the way, isn't it? Curtains are a funny thing. But I think the essence of a curtain, this is really what you were expecting this morning, wasn't it? The essence of a curtain is captured amazingly well by the Lancastrian prophetic band called Elbow, who you might have heard of. Some of you have heard of. Look them up. But anyway, they've got this song called The Beautiful Day, and it was a massive hit on the popular music hit parade. But they come out with these words, and if you think about your curtains, it's looking like a beautiful day, so throw those curtains wide. One day like this a year, and see me right. And they're not known as a prophetic worship band, but I think there's actually a real deep truth in those words. So when I listen to it, I'm just like in tears, and I'll tell you about that a bit more. But I want to come back to those lyrics. I want to come back to those lyrics a bit later, because I hope the deep truth of what they sing about will actually become clear. And that's my real hope this morning, that we can start to unveil those sorts of things. So as I mentioned, and has been mentioned this morning, we're moving up to Edinburgh to plant Edinburgh Vineyard Church. And when my friends and colleagues, they asked me about, you know, why are you going there? There's no other reason we're going there other than to plant the church. And because we follow Jesus, no other reason for that. But they have this sort of impression that, well, they always ask me questions like, oh, is there an existing congregation that you're going to go and look after, oversee, whatever? Or is there a building? You know, where's the building? And those sort of things. And it's quite interesting, because most of my friends and colleagues, their main reference point for a church is actually nothing really beyond that physical reference point of the building. And it's actually a really, really long way away from actually what Jesus teaches from his life and here on earth. Because when Jesus comes onto the scene in the New Testament, he lives in an environment which is gathering places. He lives in an environment where there's synagogues. And there's also a really strong religious focus on the temple in Jerusalem. And also what I think is really plain to see, if you read through the Gospels and the New Testament about the story of Jesus, he's often coming into conflict with the religious leaders and the way that they used the Old Testament laws and religious buildings to actually distance people from relationship with God, rather than draw people close to God. And Jesus was about to radically change the so-called religious structures and society at the time. And this was a move away from religion and law and barriers. And it moved to something different. It moved to relationship, to grace and accessibility. And my real hope and prayer for this morning is that we could maybe just even grasp one of those bits on accessibility. And maybe not fully, but at least just to understand some of it and start to realize that more and more in our lives as we examine some Bible passages this morning. Because this, if we grasp at least just accessibility to God and to the Holy Spirit that Jesus brings, then we can live and discover the life in fullness that God has for us. And I would love to see that released this morning, the life in fullness that God has for us. So during Jesus' time on earth, he spoke about changes to religion and society a lot. And one sign of this change actually happened at the point when Jesus died on the cross. So at the point that Jesus dies on the cross, we get a reference of a curtain. See, I told you it's biblical. And really, it's funny, why do we get a fabric-related incident recorded in the Bible? And just when you think a haberdashery reference is not required, we get one. And I haven't just said this and picked this verse because I can say the word haberdashery, just in case you're worried about that. And it's really not a classic church planting verse at all, but on Church Planting Sunday. But this is where I feel God's sort of really led me in terms of doing this. But it's where I feel God's wanting to reveal something of him and reveal him today and help us today. So my hope and prayer is that I can communicate the significance of what this happened and the significance of this verse. So the verse is on the screen. So Matthew 27:50-51. It's just this one verse. So if we go searching for it, you'll be lost because I'll have moved on. But so it's on the screen. So let's just use that. And this is what it says. And when Jesus had cried out in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. So if you were to read this and take this out of context, I think you'd think this is a bit strange, really, because the first thing that is mentioned after the death of Jesus on the cross is a curtain. It's like out of context, that's just a bit random, if you're honest. You know, you are allowed to say that is a bit random in the Bible, I think, if you want to question it. It all seems a bit obtuse and a bit strange, really. Because imagine if somebody came up to you and said, by the way, your great uncle's died and his curtain in his lounge is ripped. You'd be like, what? Yeah, it's almost offensive, isn't it? It's like, why are you mentioning blooming curtain in the lounge is dead? You know, so the reason it's mentioned, what I'm trying to get across is, the fact that it's mentioned immediately after the death of Jesus, it must require us to say, well, what is that about? So, and it certainly makes me think that. And so I'm going to hopefully just take you through this a bit and say, what was that about? So the curtain we're talking about is the curtain in the temple in Jerusalem. It's unreliably informed from the Bible that it's an elaborately woven fabric of 72 twisted plates of 24 threads each. In other words, its price per meter is a lot. If you're ever buying curtains, I wouldn't order one of these. But also, it's like brilliantly made. You know, it's really well crafted. You've got master craftsmen and sewing people who did a fantastic job of this. And it probably looked absolutely amazing. And it was 18 meters high and 9.1 meters wide. So that's one massive curtain. So just to put that in perspective for you, I thought I'll help illustrate this. I could put a little slide on here and you'll be like, oh, that's nice. But actually, let's walk this out. So with the power and the medium of the stride, you can count if you want. Right, well done. That is 9 meters, so it was 9.1 meters. So it's as wide as this place, right? That is a big curtain, isn't it? Height-wise, how tall do you think this ceiling is? Come on, give me a guess. Somebody guess? 15 meters, higher or lower? Higher than 15? Actually, it's not higher than 15. It's actually lower. How much lower than 50 metres? 10 metres, no. Higher. Going once, go twice. Okay, this ceiling is approximately 12.232 metres high. So that's amazing, isn't it? This is only like the height of this building is only two-thirds of the height of this curtain. So it's like as wide as this, and it's taller than that. How flipping massive is that? That's big. That's a big curtain, isn't it? If you're moving house to a house with that big a curtain, that is a big house. But so get that in your minds. Okay, got it. Has everybody got it? So not only was it prominent, you can imagine that it's prominent, but this curtain is also significant. So the curtain in the temple in Jerusalem, was a divide between the holy place and the most holy place. And this is where it really begins to get interesting. So no one was allowed to enter the most holy place. And they wouldn't want to because they would fear death if they went in there. So nobody was allowed to go into the holy place. No one was allowed to go into the most holy place except the priest, and that is the high priest. And they were only allowed to go there one day in the year. And this day in the year was celebrated every year, and it's called the Day of Atonement. What is the Day of Atonement? So we need to dig a bit further and say, well, what is the Day of Atonement when the high priest is allowed to go beyond this curtain? And a simple explanation, it's basically the most prominent and holiest day in the Jewish calendar, and it's an act to atone and seek forgiveness for our sins. It's an act of saying sorry to God and reconciling our relationship between us and God. And this massive curtain was a symbol of our broken relationship with God. And year after year, the Jewish people are reminded on the Day of Atonement of the sin that has cut them off from God's presence, of the need for forgiveness and to restore relationships and relations, to restore their relationship with God. So knowing a bit more of a background to what's happening, let's read again. Let's read again this verse. Hi, guys. Yes, that is a champion group, by the way. Years 5 and 6. Really fun. And good hot chocolate. So if you want to get involved, get involved. You get a free yellow T-shirt, which is worth it. So that background to that curtain, let's read it again. And when Jesus had cried out in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. At that moment, the curtain in the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. So this is not just, and what I've gone through is not just like an explanation of a random fabric malfunction. This curtain was a symbol between of the divide between the people and God, a symbol of our broken relationship with God. And at the point that Jesus died, that gets ripped apart. So this means we are set free to meet with God. The separation does not exist. There is no restriction. There is no barrier. Through Jesus, we are restored and we are given full access to the most holy place. Jesus gives us access, restoration, life, forgiveness, relationship. And he gives that to everyone and all of us. But also what's great is that the book of Hebrews helps us and explains this a bit further as well. And it gives a really helpful explanation of what happened in this verse that we've done in Matthew. So, and the deep significance, but not only the deep significance, but also the potential implication it could have for our lives if we want to get involved. So it's worth reading along with this one. So I think there's Bibles in front of you. It will be on the screen as well. But it's worth having a look because I'm going to be picking out some bits and bots from this verse. So it's Hebrews 10, 19 to 25. So I think you've got the Good News versions, which is slightly different in your pews, but it says pretty much the same thing. So, or just search it on the phone. If you want a good Bible app, then let me know. I'll tell you one. Right, okay, let's go. Are we ready? Cool. So Hebrews 10, 19 to 25. And I'll read it through, but also hopefully just try and pick out some bits, which I think just to explain it as we've gone through. So it says, therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place. So as I said before, the curtain divides where you're allowed to be to where you're not allowed to be. But you now, through Jesus, the curtain's torn, you can now come to the holy place. Since you have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by Jesus dying on the cross, by a new and living way opened to us through the curtain. So the curtain is torn in two, you can go through. That is his body, which is talking about Jesus. And since we have a great high priest, so if you remember, the only person who used to be able to go through was the high priest once a year. The great high priest is Jesus. And he's done it for us. So since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us. And this is where we've had the explanation, but now Hebrews talks about how we might respond to that. It says, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with a full assurance that faith brings. And then it talks, the next bit he talks about referring back to the laws in Moses about how they used to go through cleansing and things. So it reflects on that. So since we have the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. For he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Not giving up meeting together. Well done, everyone, this morning. As some are in the habit of doing. That might be slightly awkward for those who are listening on the podcast, but there you go. I'm sure they can deal with that. But yeah. Okay, so let us not give up. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. So these verses in Hebrews are, I find really helpful because they give further explanation of the recording of the events of Jesus' death in Matthew. And it also takes us forward and encourages a response through those letters, statements. So the explanation and these statements, I think, do provoke questions. They provoke questions to me, and I hope they provoke questions to you as well. So here's some of the questions that are worth considering. Have you stepped through the torn curtain into relationship with Jesus? Have you fully stepped through? Are there parts of your life where you know you're just on the other side of the curtain looking at it? Have you stepped through with all of your lives, all of your hopes, all of your dreams? And in that, are you drawing near to God? Are you holding unswervingly to the hope of Jesus? Are you spurring on one another toward love and good deeds? So as you consider those questions for your lives, I want to tell you about a couple of friends of mine and how they've done that and how I've seen that. And these are examples of church planting things, but it's not just about that. It's about all of your lives and all the things in your lives. So this is Jim and Corinne Dennison. And this is an interview I heard and listened to with Jim. And at that point, they'd tried to plant two churches, and they hadn't really gone well, so they'd sort of closed them down. Jim, at that point, had got a really secure job in a large vineyard church at the time. But they were about to go and plant a church. And so they were asked the question of, you know, why are you doing that? And this is their response. It says, there was a church alive in our hearts that we had to see in the real world or we would die with regret. So this happened to me in Starbucks when I heard it. I was like, oh, yes, another latte. Yes, please. I'm crying. Why are you crying? I've just read this. It's amazing. Right, let me read it again. There was a church alive in our hearts that we had to see in the real world or we die with regret. Because they knew about forgiveness. They knew Jesus had died for them. They knew he had put a church in their hearts and to follow him in their instance into church planting. So it might be that God has put something or many things into your hearts, and that you'll die with regret if you don't do it. There's another set of guys who, I was there when this happened actually. It was really funny because they came along to church planting school by accident, and so did I 10 years ago. and they basically there was an exercise of like tell us the vision of what you'd love to see happen, and these guys had just started a house group, and that was their first step into leadership, and they just described the church that they would love to see, the vision for it. And then Jay Pathak just turned to them and said, if you don't plant that, who will? And that became the start of what is Ashford Vineyard. And at the current count, there are 2,400 vineyard churches in 95 countries worldwide. And that includes 118 in UK and Ireland. And this is a church movement that started 42 years ago. So, quick bit of maths. That's just over one per week, which I think is great. God is doing something, and it's great to be involved in that. And also in the context of the Bible verses we have looked at today, these church plants alone means thousands of people have recognized the significance of Jesus dying on the cross, and they recognize the significance of what it means when the temple curtain was ripped in two. And they've bravely and courageously stepped through that ripped curtain. And they've ventured on to the most holy place and then continue to hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. And then they're spurring one another on all the time. And these guys, we've all started in the same place. And we can stand... And we stand in that same place with our hopes and dreams and what we think about our lives, and just as us. And we stand in that same place, but it's about stepping through the torn curtain and drawing near to God. So this is why I mentioned those words from the Elbow song and how they're significant. I feel they're really significant in the context of that temple curtain. So if you're standing in front of the temple curtain and you know it's better than the most beautiful day the other side, it's the presence of God. So it's looking like a beautiful day. So throw those curtains wide. Because one day in a year would see me right. Can you imagine that? But also, it's like, not only one day, one day would be amazing, but imagine and know that it's not one day, it's our lifetime. To step into that for our lifetime. So as I come to a close, I want to take a moment again just to imagine this curtain in front of you, the one that I've described. So some of you might want to just close your eyes and see it, but you could just think about it in the context of this building. So you're standing in front of the temple curtain in Jerusalem. You stand in front of that elaborately woven fabric of 72 twisted plates of 24 threads each. It's 9.1 meters wide, and it's 18 meters high. And behind that is the most holy place. You cannot go there. You are not allowed. You fear death if you venture in. You're aware of your sins, aware that your relationship with God is broken, in need of repair. You cannot go close to the presence of God. But Jesus cried out in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. So, the curtain is torn. The invitation for you, the invitation for you this morning is to rip it wide open and draw near to God. So I just want to let that go. Just let it rip. And as I said, it's like the curtain. I mean, we do this every week in terms of coming to the front. But imagine the curtain is there. So I want to invite you to come forward now just to say, just to respond to what God's doing. If you know God's doing something in your heart, there's hopes and dreams which are just not in the holy place, or you just want to be there, why don't you just come forward now? But as you come forward, just realize you know metaphorically sort of going through the curtain. So if you want to go for it, come forward.
So a few other things that I think the Lord is saying to you guys this morning. Just specifically, I had a few things yesterday that the Lord really put on my heart for you. So the first thing was of a picture of a fly just like buzzing around your face. It was just irritating, and it felt like for a while God's been calling at you he's put hopes and dreams in your heart. And you've buried them. You've just, like, you're not stepping into that holy place. It's easier. It's just like, and this morning's a bit like an irritant. It's like, just get out of my face. I've done a good job of burying that, actually. And the Lord's just going, no, this is from me. Step through the curtain. This is from me. There was another picture of a guy trying to lasso the cattle. And he's been trying to lasso it, trying to, you know, get this rope round his round the cattle's neck. And I think it's about a guy, and it's about work. And specifically, it's been a hard time trying to prove yourself at work, trying to learn this new skill, trying to lasso this cattle. And the picture then changed to this the cattle just gently coming towards the man, and God was just putting gently this rope around his neck, and the Lord's saying he's beckoning in at work a time of favor for you. If there's anybody who's had a really hard time proving themselves or learning a new skill, or just a season of grafting, it feels like the Lord is saying that time is over. I'm beckoning in favor. So we'd love to pray for you if that's you. Another thing about fostering, it felt that there's people here who are not just going to foster, but usher in fostering as a process. So if that's you, we'd love to pray for you. You're going to be instrumental in the fostering process. Just another, sorry, random quick one. There's somebody here who the Lord is calling into academia. I don't know what it is. I don't know whether you're a student, and I think it's about maths, random, but there's something about God's spoken to you about following your call into academia, and you're thinking, no, that's weird, or whatever it is that you're thinking. That's from the Lord. Okay. And just finally, those words about Jim and Corinne Dennison, they failed, as they would put it, twice before. And there's something about if you failed at something, God's saying, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. You are not done. Okay.
So I think we should, those those specific things you might want to respond to, but I just want to pray generally for these guys here at the front and what God's got for you. And then the rest of the church, you need to join in praying for them. But yeah, thanks for responding and to what God's saying. And I thank you, Lord, for your word is living and active. I thank you, Lord, for dying on the cross for us, for setting us free. I thank you the curtain in the temple is ripped apart. And Lord, just show these guys here the most holy place. Show it now, Lord. And the Lord says, you're welcome. You're welcome. And Lord, just may your power come as these guys step into the most holy place and know your love. May your power come, the power of the cross. Just more of you. I just encourage you to take the time, you guys. Take the time. He's speaking to you. He's speaking to you about dreams. He's speaking to you about freedom. He's speaking about new things and ancient and old things. So let it come. Thank you, Lord. What would be great to do is for you guys, probably best to come in pairs because most of the house group leaders and leaders are up at the front, which is awesome. So all I ask you to do is not to give advice, not to do anything like that. It's just to gather around these guys because God is doing something in their hearts this morning. So just gather around them and lay your hands on them and ask the Spirit of God to come up and just reveal himself. So if you're a bloke, go near a bloke. If you're a lady, go near a lady. If you come in pairs, it'd be better. You can see what God's doing. But just shuffle around a bit. If any of you guys standing want a bit more space, just go down to the side and then you'll be good. And it's probably time to pick up the kids. They may be transfigured, so you might not recognize them, so please take your badge with you. If you want to be prayed for and you've got kids, then a friend of yours could get them, or we're going to be here and praying for people because God's doing stuff this morning. We'd love to be part of that. So thanks for coming to Leeds Vineyard, and have a great week.